Today is Mother's Day, the day we set aside to thank God for our mothers. It also gives us an opportunity to honor and to celebrate the role our mothers play in our lives. Did you know the Bible uses the word mother 227 times? For the vast majority of people, their moms are so special. They are seen as someone who's so faithful, so caring, so loving, whose nurturing hand is one that shapes and influences them for the rest of their lives. Yes, mothers are great influencers. I was thinking of a small boy who forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. His mother was sitting in the front row to prompt him. She gestured and tried to mouth the word silently, but it did not help. You know, the son's memory was blank for a moment. Finally, she leaned forward. She whispered the clue and she said, "I am the light of the world." The boy blinked and with great feeling and loud, clear voice, he said, "My mother is the light of the world." That's a great testimony. You know, today we want to spend some time looking at some key passages beginning with 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 3 to 7 on the title called Modeling the Gospel at Home. You know, this passage doesn't say a lot about mothers, but what it says, it's so powerful, the kind of influence they can instill in our lives. And so before we go into the passage, let's take a moment to ask God to be with us as we spend some time, as we draw strength and lessons from God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that is given to us. We thank you, Lord, that we have access to your word. Lord, as we look at your word, we ask for blessings upon our mothers, Father. We pray that you'll continue to work in our lives, O God. Help us to be receptive. Help us, O Lord, to be obedient to your word. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. One day, four ministers, they came together for a time of coffee. And they were talking about a lot of things. And their conversation shifted about Scripture. One of the pastors said, "You know, I like the King James Version of Scripture, because it is so eloquent in the use of English language." The second man, you know, he came forward and he said, I like the American version because it is so faithful in its original Greek and Hebrew text." The third pastor didn't want to be silent, so he immediately said, "No, I prefer the New Testament version for its contemporary language and it is easily been read or understood." And then the pastors were looking at the fourth guy. He was quiet for a while. And then he spoke up. He said, "I like my mother's translation, and it is the best translation." It was with some surprise that the others asked him, "We didn't know," they said, "that your mother had translated the Bible." And he said, "Yes, she did." And then he said, "She translated it into her daily life. And it was through her translation that I came to faith." What a powerful testimony. What a great impact the mother has made on his life. It is nearly impossible for us to talk about Mother's Day without thinking about the kind of influence and impact mothers have in our lives. Abraham Lincoln once said like this, he said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Today we want to look at the passage and introduce ourselves to a grandmother and mother. The grandmother is Lois, and the mother is Eunice. There is not much of information that we look at scripture about them. But we didn't know that they are a great encouragement to all mothers who want to raise their children to love the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a mother and daughter team that raised up a man for God. Lois and Eunice may have thought they were only raising a child, but little did they know that they were creating a legacy. And today we read about them, we study about them, and it impacts a lot of our lives too. You know, before we look at the two mothers, it's important for us to see why the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to this young minister called Timothy. Paul writes this letter towards the end of his life. He found Timothy during one of his missionary journey. And from then on, Timothy became Paul's companion. And Paul always wanted him to carry forward the work even after his death. So the relationship lasted for more than 20 years. In many of Paul's writings, you will tend to see that Paul refers Timothy as co-worker. He calls him as his son, his child, and his brother. And when you look at the writings of Paul, you know, Timothy became Paul's most trusted assistant, highly esteemed as a Christian in the eyes of Paul. You know, we tend to ask this question, you know, where did Timothy get his knowledge about Jesus Christ? Who were there to help him grow in his Christian faith? And you see the answers, and Paul reveals the answers in this particular letter. He speaks about Lois, the grandmother, and Eunice, who took the responsibility to pass on their faith. And very seriously, they did this. And as a result, they raised up a young man to become a servant of God. From this, they have gone down in history as outstanding mothers and great women of faith. As I mentioned, you know, the Bible, this passage doesn't say much about them. But what we see about them is so interesting and so essential, and lessons that we learn from this mother and daughter team. In verse 5, Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded, he says, now lives in you also. Maybe Paul knew them personally, and that's the reason he's writing or mentioning their names in this particular letter. They would have met Paul probably during his first missionary journey. They might have been converted because of Paul's teaching or even Barnabas' teaching. But we tend to see that they were believers. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul describes them. And the first word Paul says is about their faith. And let's read verse 5. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. So Paul is talking about sincere faith that was found in this Lois and Eunice. Now, Paul is not using the word faith, but Paul is so particular when he uses this word. He says, sincere faith. You know, the term in Greek, it means it's a real faith. There is no hypocrisy in this faith. A life that is lived matches up with the words that are spoken. It's a faith that is visible to those around them. It's a faith that is able to overcome persecution and always standing firm in its belief. And it is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe Lois and Eunice would have heard about Paul. But one thing is for sure, you know, Lois believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. She learned about the good news that God sent Jesus with the message of hope and salvation. And Lois did not kept silent. She wanted to share the gospel. And she shared it with her daughter Eunice. Eunice would have heard the gospel message from the mother. And she would have witnessed and the way the mother was living, sincere faith, a life in accordance to God's will. Because that's the word that Paul is using here. And that was a sincere faith that was found in Lois and also in Eunice. Timothy learned about faith, about genuine faith, about sincere faith from his grandmother and also from his mom. What an interesting testimony Lois had. She was able to share her faith to her daughter Eunice, and together they were there to help Timothy to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to pass on. They demonstrated and had a huge impact on Timothy. He grew to be a great man of God, well-liked by the Apostle Paul, that Paul even calls him as my son or co-worker. I believe their testimony is one of faith and faithfulness, which the Lord is honored by remembering them in the Word. Today, my friends, I think it's important for us to ask, you know, the testimony that we live in the midst of our children. And God is looking for that kind of testimony. I believe, you know, Timothy would have seen the love of God in his grandmother. He would have seen the love of God revealed in his mother's life, Eunice. And that impacted him. He would have known that they love God. In times of difficulties, their love for God was still there. And that would have motivated him. Today we need to ask ourselves, do our kids know that we love Jesus? Do they know that we trust Him and depend on Him? Do they see us turning to God with thanksgiving, even in the midst of our hardship? I believe that was the reason, that was their lives impacted this man, Timothy. Secondly, when you look at the passage, you know, Paul talks in verse 15, he says, "And now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." And so he's talking to this young minister, Timothy, and says, you know, from the time you were born, from the time you were a baby, right, you have known the Holy Scriptures. So when you look at this, you realize, you know, Eunice's life and Lois's life were grounded in God's Word. A life that was grounded in God's Word. Because they were able to instruct Timothy in God's Word. Yes, Timothy would have learned a lot from the Apostle Paul. But from this particular passage, it becomes so evident, it becomes so clear to us that it's all because of his childhood training. The grandma and mother were there to instruct him in God's Word. They taught him God's Word. Timothy did not accidentally learn about the Bible. It was taught to him by his mother and grandmother. I believe they did not. When you look at the word very carefully, you know, Paul uses the word, right? Infancy, it means from childhood or from a babe. That's the way it is seen in the Greek text. So in other words, they did not wait until Timothy was old enough to make his own decision. They started teaching him right away. Right away, they sat together with him. And they showed the scripture to him. The scholars are of the opinion that Timothy, perhaps by the age of 15, would have seen his grandmother and his mother's transformation in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that would have actually impacted him and to be a strong believer. Different studies have shown that 85% of all faith decisions are made between the age of 5 to 15. If they have not done it by then, if a faith decision is not made by then, it becomes less likely that the child would embrace the faith. Studies also shows that by the time someone reaches the age of 30, it becomes a challenging or sometimes difficult for the person to make a commitment. I was reading about Susanna Wesley, a great woman of God. She lived in the 1700s. And she was a great Christian mother. You know, she had 19 children. 19. But even then, she had, you know, she made it a habit of spending at least 1 hour a week in religious instruction with each child and praying for them an hour every day. 19 children. And two of her sons were well known. They were John and Charles Wesley. Together they brought revival to England and started the Methodist Church. Charles Wesley wrote, you know, more than 6,000 hymns. You know, Susanna Wesley's goal was to bring her children to the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasted no time. She made sure that she had the time to spend with each child, instructing them on God's word. Dear friends, that was what, you know, Lois and also Eunice did. They saw God's word as divine, as sacred. And they also saw it was their duty, responsibility to open the scripture to Timothy. What a powerful and a wonderful reminder to lay a strong biblical foundation on our children's hearts and minds. Dear friends, the sooner, the better. Did Lewis and Eunice have any idea that they are leaving a legacy behind? And today we are talking about them. They were raising a child. But because of their faith, because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they wanted to impact this young boy, today, we study and read about them. Moms out there, mothers out there, do you realize the potential that you have in being an example of Christ to your children? Like Lois and Eunice seek to leave a legacy of faith for the generations to come. You know, when you look at the passage, their teachings does not stop there. What is happening? It impacted this man. They have done their role. And so what did Timothy do? With instruction, with the learnings that he got. And when you read, Paul writes, he says, in this particular verse, he says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. So he challenges this man and says, you know, continue with what you have learned and firmly believe. In verse, it's interesting. He says, continue. The word continue is a very interesting word. It is a word that says about serious commitment to the way that you live and abide. And did Timothy continue? Yes. Even in Paul's writing, you see that, you know, Paul writes to the other churches by saying that Timothy have never wavered away as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues to be a great challenge, a great encouragement to the believers. And Paul testifies about it. When you read the life of Timothy, you also realize that, you know, Timothy was imprisoned, possibly at Rome. But he remained true to his pastoral calling, which we read in Hebrews chapter 13. Church history records that Timothy was first bishop of Ephesus. And true to the meaning of his name, honoring God, he honored God till the end. And church history also says, and urban tradition says, that he died as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Eunice and Lewis might have been so thankful that Timothy became such a devoted servant of God and a faithful, trustworthy helper in the churches of God. Their careful shepherding of this young boy's heart brought great fruit. It became a great testimony. Today we live in a world which is called a post-Christian culture world. It's sad because more and more people are rejecting Christianity and the church. They're rejecting Christianity and the church and saying to themselves, there is no religion. It is discouraging to see people living the faith. And to live a life just to please them. Some people have even given up following the Lord Jesus Christ because things are difficult. Dear friends, the Lord never promised that following Christ would be easy. But he did say that if we finish in our walk, in our journey, we will surely receive the reward. It is a challenge. I believe it was a challenging time for Timothy. But the instruction that he has received from his grandmother and also from his mother and also from his association with Paul continued to be with him, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, he continued to live a life. And today, each and every one of us have been instructed by our loved ones, our parents, or people who love us. But it's our Christian responsibility to continue, as Paul said, to continue with the faith that is in us and live a life with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me end by sharing a story about William Booth. I believe many of us, you know, when we drive around, we have seen a Salvation Army. And when you pass Salvation Army, I want you to remember this story, which I'm about to tell you. Interesting thing that happened in the life of William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. You know, William Booth, as we know, he was stirred by the needs of the poor and the needy in London. And he realized that the churches were not doing much to reach out to these undesirable people, the drunkards, the addicts, the prostitutes, and even the poor. And so he set out to reach them, which he called the 3S. 3S, soup, soap, and salvation. And thousands were saved from this initiative that he took. And he gave his life to reach many people. It was in the 80s that his work began to be hindered by blindness. He briefly lost his sight and then recovered, but later he lost his vision permanently. One day his son came to his room. He said, "Dad, I have a bad news for you." And he said, "What is the news?" He said, You would never see again." And to his surprise, William Booth replied. He said, "God must know best. And he knows the best." He said, "I have done what I could for God and the people with my eyes." And he said, "Now I shall do what I can for God and the people without my eyes. What a great testimony. He said, with my eyes, I will continue to serve God. Without these eyes, nothing is able to stop me. And I will continue to serve God. We thank God for people like William Booth. We thank God for people like Timothy. And we thank God for people like Lois and Eunice. Nothing stopped them from showing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith was genuine. On this Mother's Day, I believe our mothers have impacted our lives in many ways. Every time we talk about faith, we look at them because they are great reminders of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the responsibility is on us now. What are we doing with the gospel? What are we doing with the faith that we have? As Paul said, continue. Let's continue. Let's continue to do the things that we have been instructed. Let's continue to be a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for great women of faith, Father. We thank you for Lois and Eunice. Though we don't read much about them, Father, but we know they have impacted a great man, Timothy, our God. We thank you for our mothers here. You know their prayers, their lives, their testimony, Father. We pray, God, that you will bless them and help us, O Lord, to live a life. Help us, O Lord, to continue with the faith journey. And help us, O Lord, to pass on this faith to the generations to come, that they too will know the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.